You're listening to the 4130 Show. This is South Granville Church's After Church podcast, where we take a look at the sermon passage in more depth and think about how we can apply it during the week. Welcome, everybody, to the 4130 Show. My name is AJ Gretz. I am lead pastor here at South Granville Church in Granville, Michigan. With me, as always, my friend and co-host, the man with the plan, Ben Netz.
Hey, everybody.
And today we have two special guests, which we're really excited about. We have Aaron and Natalie Brucker here from South Granville with us.
Hi.
Hi.
So could you guys just tell us a little bit about who you are, maybe how long you've been going to South Granville and some things that you like to do for fun?
Yeah. So this is Aaron. I've been going to South Granville about 15 years. I've got three kids. Natalie is my oldest. My grandparents were charter members here at South Granville, so it's kind of a nice thing to return home to when I moved back into Granville.
My name's Natalie. I like to play softball. I like reading and making soap, and I've been here all my life.
Yep.
And Natalie, you really like Harry Potter, right?
Yes.
Could you tell everybody which house you belong to?
Hufflepuff.
Yes, right. Team Hufflepuff forever. Ben, do you know what house you would be?
They'd probably kick me out of all of them.
There's always room in Hufflepuff.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
No,
he's a Ravenclaw. Yeah.
Yeah, you think so? Yeah, he might be. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, we were talking beforehand. It was the Super Bowl yesterday, if you're listening this week, you might remember some of the commercials. And I was wondering, if you guys had to be in a Super Bowl commercial for something, is there a product or a food or something that you would really want to be in a commercial for?
So I'm a big coffee lover. So I like the coffee commercials where you wake up in the morning and you're like holding your coffee like it's like your lifeline. So probably a coffee commercial.
It wouldn't require much acting.
No, I would be just totally myself. Yeah. In love with that coffee.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Nelly?
I think that the Geico commercials are funny. So it'd be cool to be in one of those.
Yeah. And there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. Would you be with like the lizard or the cave guys or
probably like
else?
The woodchucks that are always throwing wood?
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that one. What about you, Ben?
I'd like to be in like one of the mashup commercials they did. Did you notice that? How they had all the different characters from different brands together. Yeah.
Well, like the Mr. Peanut one, right? Because it was the Kool-Aid Man.
And Mr. Clean.
And Mr. Clean.
I feel like Ben's tears could give birth to something magical as well.
Baby peanut.
Baby peanut.
Yeah. I'm not proud, but I do really love Doritos a lot, and I would definitely be in a Doritos commercial if they asked me.
Stop.
The one with MC Hammer was really good. Natalie, that's way before your time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, was that Cheetos? That was Cheetos.
Oh, yeah, it was. Oh, shoot. Hmm.
Still kind of the same thing, though, when you get Dorito fingers or Cheeto fingers.
Equally delicious.
Yeah. Yes.
Equally dirty.
Yes. Yes. So this week, we were continuing our series in Genesis, and we read kind of a longer story. We read through the whole flood narrative with Noah and the ark and all the things that happened in chapters 6 through 9. So just as a very quick summary, Noah is called out by God and set apart as one of the only righteous people living on earth. And God says he's bringing judgment for sin because everything that he observes in humanity is evil inclinations. And he sees that our hearts are just totally bent away from doing what he wants. And so the earth is filled with wickedness. And in his righteous judgment, God decides to bring a flood. So he gives Noah instructions for building an ark. They bring kind of surviving pairs of all the animals, and then they ride out the storm for two whole chapters. It's an REO Speedwagon reference, by the way. And eventually they land, the water recedes, and Noah and his family are able to get out. So Noah makes an offering to God, and God notices that even though sin hasn't left, sin is still present in Noah and his family, he vows that he will not flood the earth again, that he brings a promise of peace to the creation and stability. And then in chapter 9, he actually makes a covenant with Noah and promises not to bring flooding judgment. And he says the rainbow is going to be a sign of that covenant, that in the way that a mighty warrior would hang up his bow, after battle, that God is hanging up his weapon of judgment against people. So you get to that point in the story and you think everything is looking up and looking positive for God's people. But then the story ends with this kind of strange epilogue where Noah has too much to drink. He gets naked. His sons find him. And we find out that people remain just as sinful and confusing as ever. So the narrator wants us to leave with a sense that we're right back where we started in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that there's still a sin problem and God is going to have to do something in order to deal with it. So I'd be curious to hear from you all, when the last time you kind of went through this story, and if there was anything surprising when we went through it yesterday, because this is one that a lot of people are familiar with, but I think the actual story is a lot deeper and richer than, you know, what you might hear in a Sunday school lesson. So I'm just kind of curious, what were your impressions or things that you were surprised by or confused by? What did you take away?
I think, having raised children now, my oldest being almost 11, the context of reading the story for me is generally reading the children's version of it to my kids. And certainly there are parts in it that they don't include in the children's story. Right, Natalie?
Yeah. I was surprised at the part at the end where he was laying naked, because my mom said, we always read the children's version, but they never included that part
in it. Yeah, in the storybook Bible, it literally ends with the rainbow. Yeah. And it's oh, it's happy.
I guess I remember the naked part, but I don't remember teaching my kids that.
Yeah.
And it seems like such a important part of it, because otherwise it's this whole thing happened. This God wiped out the earth, basically. And then it's okay, great. Everything's great again. And the whole point is, there's still sin. Even Noah, the most righteous person saved from this, still had this pretty big
right
sin.
Back at it.
And then his son sinned right after him.
Right.
So that was going to be my question is, do you think we should tell that part of the story? When we do it in Sunday school?
I don't know how you do though. Okay, kids. Now Noah was naked. It just seems kind of what would you think, Natalie, if you learned that
it's an
in
important
school?
Part of it, but it would be kind of the kids would, I don't know. I don't know how they would react about it and stuff.
Could we leave the naked part out?
Right. Can you just say Noah continued to sin?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would work better.
You could. I mean, I think so. Mm-hmm. There's an interesting... it's an interesting question, right? Because there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that Anna and I have talked about, sheltering our kids from it for a while or toning it down. You know, there's a part where a guy gets stabbed with a sword and his stomach swallows it. And there's another part where, what's the story where the woman drives a tent peg through a guy's temple and stuff. There's these really, really intense, kind of scary, violent things. And yeah, they don't usually make it into the children's version, but they're in there for a reason. And it's interesting to think about, how do you as a parent navigate that with your kids, or when do you feel like they're old enough to be able to process that?
Yeah, I mean, the story in itself, the way that's written in the children's stories, I mean, you can picture it with the rainbow and everything being kind of, here's all these adorable animals and look at the pairs of all of them together. And
now there's four bunnies instead of two.
Right. But the story itself, really, when you really pick it apart, is pretty dark. I mean, the whole start to finish, the reason why they had to build the ark and ending with the sin.
So is this, Natalie, do you think this is a good story for kids? Is this something that we should be telling kids?
I think maybe if they got older, maybe they'd understand it better, you know?
Mm-hmm. How old is old enough, do you think?
Probably 10 or 11.
10 or 11, okay.
Yeah.
The version you heard yesterday in the sermon felt okay to you? Yeah.
It's hard to know, right?
And
it depends so much on the kid. But we talk about that, even having kids go downstairs for children's worship. You think when are they old enough, not only to have the attention span to sit through a sermon, but then to get anything out of it and process some of those things. Mm-hmm. So Ben, I'm curious from your perspective as a dad and as a guy on staff at church, what is the value of the story for, the average Christian? Because we have the New Testament, we have the story about Jesus, and we understand that he kind of solves the sin problem. So do we need this story? Is this one we should be telling consistently? What do you think?
Well, it seems to me like there's a first part to the story and then a second part. We hear the first part where everyone's saved and the waters go down and there's a rainbow and everybody's happy, right? And that kind of gives us an idea about God's saving grace and second chances. And then we hear that second part where Noah screws up again right away. And that's more of the human element, the more like, that would totally be me too. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't hold it together. So you've got an example of Noah picked to be him and his family, the only ones to survive this global flood. And then he screws up. And why did they have the flood? Because people kept sinning over and over and over. And then what does he do? Sins again. Well, that's just like us. And from Noah all the way up to Jesus, you've got all these examples of great people screwing up again, you know, not making it into the promised land and all these different things. It kind of brings that human element to us to see, yeah, I can relate with those people.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like if you read at the beginning of Matthew, Jesus's like genealogy and the family history, and there's all kinds of kind of crazy stories in there, just people who have failed in pretty spectacular ways. And yet God is faithful. And the whole point of including those names is to show that God is bigger than our sin and our mistakes and the things that we do. So that's a good point.
For me, like I was thinking about like how you preached it yesterday, how it parallels creation so much, like kind of going back to Adam and Eve, that it was this whole story of, again, the children's story that's all kind of happy, but really it's kind of the exact same thing. Like God created this perfect thing, start from scratch, and oops, we sinned again. And then just the promise of God's going to do something bigger and better. Instead of sending a flood, he's going to go even bigger than that mm-hmm. and send Jesus to save us all. The thing for me, I've thought before with this story, and I still think this story triggers doubt for me. Like, why, if God knows everything, if he has this plan, why did this happen again? You know, why did it get to this point and he had to do this big drastic thing again? But then it's like, because he's promising us that Jesus will be here. But it's just it's a confusing story for me when you really pick it apart that way.
It is. I mean, I think that's really true. I mean, if someone said, okay, so God sends the flood and then he says, okay, I'm not going to do that again because I see I didn't fix the problem mm-hmm. of sin. But God is all knowing. Why did God send the flood?
Yeah.
You know, why did he do something that he knew wouldn't work?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very real, a very fair question.
And didn't he see that from the beginning? I mean, from the amount of time between Adam and Eve and again with Noah, like, did he know all along he was going to have to do that? I mean, like, it's just kind of mind boggling to think about how that works.
But. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like a good reminder for Christians because like, we always think that we're always going to be all good because we like trust in Jesus, but we got to remember that there's always going to be sin, so we got to take care of it.
It's true that even great people are sinful and imperfect. And yeah, if Noah can't get it right after everything he's been through, then there's very little hope for us, and especially for Ben, right? There's very little hope.
That's true. I'm making a sad face right now. So it's that time again to ask Pastor AJ. There's some things in the sermon on Sunday that you probably didn't get to. Are there some things today you'd like to share with us?
On Sunday, we kind of purposely said that the narrator makes the story about God. And yes, Noah is kind of the central figure, but it's really about God and what God is doing. And even though it's this kind of terrible, catastrophic flood, it's a story about grace and God's grace towards humans. But there is, I think, a sermon here, or at least a lesson here, observing Noah and what he goes through. I'm curious if there's a way that you read the story and you're inspired, or just if Noah's example teaches you anything or does anything for you, because I think that is a real part of the lesson as well.
I know you commented in the sermon too about how Noah was kind of like silent, like no words from Noah mm-hmm. while he was building the ark. And you can just sort of picture this man, like just going along, doing his own thing, like almost in solitude, like, yep, I know I look like the crazy guy right now and I'm just listening and trusting. And I think that's a good example to take. Like, even though you might seem like the only one in the room doing the right thing, sometimes, like, sometimes you just have to be that person and just trust and believe, even if it feels like isolating.
Yeah. I like how you put that, like being the only one, you know, I mean, yeah, you're in the middle of the desert building this giant boat. People think you're nuts. And we feel that sometimes, definitely. Is there, Natalie, is there any way that you experience that when you're at school or, you know, from like a kid's perspective, when is it hardest to do what you think God wants you to do, even though it's scary or it's difficult?
A lot of times kids are like teasing kids and like saying like phrases about them and stuff, like bad things. Like sometimes I try to stop them. It's kind of hard sometimes
too. It is hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, always trying to be a good friend, be the buddy, and yeah.
We just tell them that Ben will come and teach them a lesson.
Yeah. That's right. Like, I know this guy from church. Look out.
Yeah. He's tall enough that he could sit on the short stool.
And still look tall.
What about, Ben, what about for you? Was there another takeaway or something that you were kind of still thinking about?
I relate with Aaron's perspective, that quiet solitude or that trust that God will get you through. And, you know, we talked about this earlier a little bit, how God's all knowing. So he knew, okay, the flood's going to happen. I'm going to put the rainbow out. Noah's going to get into the wine again and he's going to sin, right? Even though he knew that ahead of time, God let Noah go through that and see how he could trust God fully, that he would save him and his whole family through this terrible thing.
This new picture was painted of Noah for me, like thinking about the episode at the end of, with the wine and being, you know, the nakedness, thinking like, okay, so here he is when God is giving him this task and he has to just be this like, you know, straight. Yep. This is what I'm going to do. I'm ignoring everybody else. I'm going to do this big thing and I'm going to, you know, save my family. And you just get this picture of just this like amazing, wonderful, righteous guy. And then at the end, it's like, no, he's still just a normal guy who makes mistakes. And it almost makes you think, was the Holy Spirit like so in him during that period of time that like he couldn't sin? God just took over him for that period of time to make happen what needed to happen. And then he kind of like, you know, eased up a little bit at the end. It's like, okay, you can be a normal guy again now. You can sin like everybody else because you did what I needed to happen. You did it. You got it done.
That's really interesting. What if that was true? What would like the implication of that be, do you think?
It makes me think like, are there other like modern day, you know, like, does that happen now? Like, are there people now that like God just like takes over for this period of time to get something done that he needs done? And then, you know, then you can kind of go back to normal. Hmm. Ben's smirking at me. Can you think of someone this is happening to, Ben?
Kanye West.
That's definitely where I was going with that.
I don't know if I would say it quite the same way in terms of like the Spirit is really present and then he's like taking his foot off the gas or something. But it does make sense to think that anytime we have ever had to do something hard or you know, you're really putting in a lot of effort or you're intimidated and yet you step up and do it, there is often a letdown, right? Where you say like, I did it and now I can relax, or I've been so good for so long, you know, and now I'm going to get off the wagon a little bit. That feels very realistic and very human to me. Like it maybe is less about God doing or not doing something and more about Noah, you know, I did it. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, finally I can relax and drink wine and who cares, you know, because it's over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like I can relate to that. Definitely. Mm-hmm.
He must have been under a terrible amount of pressure.
Exactly, yeah.
After everything, he's like, oh, man.
Well, and all of a sudden, he had ground to grow grapes again.
What am I going to do with these grapes?
Right. Hmm. Yeah, there's nobody to really sell it to, right? Yeah.
All right, Pastor AJ. Going forward through the rest of our week, what is something we can take away from this podcast and away from Sunday that we can challenge ourselves with when it comes to the story of Noah?
I liked the examples you guys were sharing about when it's hard to do the right thing. And I would guess that most of us are going to have some opportunity this week to step up or step out in faith. You know, whether that's something at school, or maybe there's been something in your family life or some decision you've been trying to make for a while. And I think looking for opportunities to be obedient, even when, you know, it's scary or you're not sure what kind of reaction you're going to get, and saying, look, I know God is with me. And if this is what God wants, that's going to be the right thing and the good thing.
So that's going to wrap things up for us here at the 4130 Show. We want to thank our guests today, Natalie Brueker and her mom, Erin. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
A lot of fun having you guys here. Super easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anybody can do this?
Yes.
Yeah.
AJ, do you want to tell people how they can share the 4130 Show or how they can get a hold of it online?
Yeah, it's something that we're doing not only for the benefit of our own church, but also to kind of help spread the word about South Granville and the conversations we're having here. So if you have a social media page, it's really helpful to us if you share episodes. If you want to email family or friends, let them know what we're talking about. Even if you've got kids, you read through the Noah story and the Jesus Storybook Bible, this could be a great supplement as well. But we're just excited about what God is doing at our church and excited about the great conversations we've been having. So thank you for listening.
Bye.
Is that loud?
I have some goldfish in my office if you want to like...
Crunch them all up.
It's so dry.
Natalie.
Can you hear that?
That should be the thing at the end.
It
just
is.
Like, yeah. Just gross chewing sounds.